Let's begin. We have to Divrei Hayamim, Perek Tes Vav, Pasek Chof Beis. We are Perek Chof Tes Vav, Pasek Chof Beis. We're in the middle of describing the different people who are appointed to serve different roles in the orchestra that will accompany the Oroin as it travels from the home of Ovid Edom to Ir David. So we have here a continuation of Uchenanya Sar Halavim Bamasa. Hananya, this person, Sar HaLevim, he was a prince among the Levim, Bamasa. He was in charge, he was the conductor. Okay, that's what it really seems to say. He, Masa means to raise your voice. He was the Sar. Sar means the leader. Bamasa, relating to raising your voice. Which Levim would raise their voice at different points in the in time during the singing? Yosor, Bamasa. So Yosor means, different interpretation of this means, we'll see both Rashi and the Mitzudas. Rashi learns, I think, I'm not sure, one. Yosor, what?
Like a conductor.
Right, so Yosor, the Samach here, according to one of the Farshim, is can be interchanged with the Samach, with the Sin. The Samach here is to be interchanged with the Sin, at least according to one interpretation. So it's a repetition of the word Sar. Sar means the master. He was the one in charge, Yosor b'maso, he was the master of raising up. Maso literally means to raise. In this context, it refers to the raising of the voice, ki meivinu, because he was a person who understood music. Not everyone is musical. It's a niche if you really know music, and this was his thing. Let's see right away, Rashi and the Mitzudas. Yeah.
Sin. With the word Yosor.
Yeah.
Interchangeable with a shin.
And then Yosor straight. So I think.
No, not even straight. If I'm looking for the word shore to sing, shin.
Yeah, shin.
Sheer.
Shins and sins are not interchangeable.
The shin, you would need to put a yud in between also. If it would be.
What do you do with the mem?
People attempt
the sound.
Let's see the Mitzudas Pasach HaBeis. The Mitzudas Pasach HaBeis says, B'masa B'dvar HaRamasakol. Masa here means to lift up, and here referring to raising your voice. Yosor, this is a very unusual word. Yosor B'masa. So what does that word Yosor? Yosor is not really a word that we're familiar with. So right away here the Mitzudas says, Hoyasar. Interchange the Samach with a Sin, which is not so uncommon, a sin, not a shin, a sin.
Yeah, okay,
a sin. Hayasar, the gadol, he was a leader, the gadol, the inyan harama sakol, the kofal duvaroi, and as common in psukim, the words over here, the idea is repeated, even though the pasuk began and said over begin, he was a sar halavim bamasa. The concept has now been repeated a second time when it says Yosor Bamasa. He served as a conductor, as a sar, a leader over the raising of the voice. Ki Mevin Hu, next words, Miki Mevin Hu, Bedavar Hazeh. With regard to this matter, Lehorim Akol Achriya B'mokem Horoi, to raise the voice, Lehachriya, and to decide when the voice should be raised, when the voice should be lowered. In this matter, he was a sar. Let's see the Rashi. Chananya sar halavim b'masa b'mah hayasar. Same idea. What was he a sar? B'masa b'nisius hashir, the lift, the raising forth. Same idea of the song. Now, next word is a little bit different. Yosor b'masa miyaser. So he has a different interpretation. Okay, Rashi does not say the word the samach. Welcome back. We missed you very much. He does not say that the samach here should be interchanged with a sin. Rashi takes the word, keeps the samach of chastisement, yisurim, affliction, pain, suffering. So what it means over here was he would give him mussar. It's the same idea. He was the one in charge of bossing people around and being in charge. It's another way of saying being in charge, but you don't have to interchange the samach with a sin. One more time, let's see Rashi. Yosor masam yaser umaychiach oisam. He would give them mussar, chastisement, umaychiach, rebuke, oisam al hamasa al hamasa with regard to the song benigun ni'imay shir im lohodim kol im lehashpil, if they shall raise their voice or they shall lower their voice. It's the same idea as the mitzudos, but we don't need to get into the changing of the samach with a samach with a sin. Rather, we keep the word yosar. He gave them rebuke. Musar, you're making a mistake. Now is not the time to raise your voice. Now is the time to lower. Now is not the time to lower. Now is the time to raise your voice. And that at least takes away the difficulty of the mitzvot, that there's repetition. Why repeat the same concept twice? Okay, pasuk of gimel. Rashi, next words of Rashi. Ki mevin hu, b'masa, he was a person that understood these matters. B'masa, b'nisiyas hanigun, v'loshen mevin noifel al limud hashir. The word mevin is a word which refers to understanding, having knowledge in music. V'dugma, for example, v'ahi misparam imachayhem, melandei shir la Hashem. They were knowledgeable, they were teachers of singing Sog LaHashem Kol HaMevin, all those HaMevin who understood this matter, who were accustomed. Mevin Am Talmud, and other examples, I'm not familiar with that pasuk, but other examples, we have this concept of Mevin means Limud. You are accustomed, you are knowledgeable in this field, in this matter. Okay, let's now go to... you're right, Mr. Blatter, you're right. There's a medrash here. I didn't remember it. Let me read you the medrash that takes the word yosar and turns it in, exchanges the samach with a shin. Let me read you. It's a gemara in Masechta Arochin, Daf Yud Aleph.
I never learned that.
Yosar b'masa. Mahu here, the Gemara Sakasha. Mahu yosar. The Gemara is very disturbed. What is this unusual word? Okay, Rashi and the Mitzvahs both offered for us two different interpretations. But the Gemara was Sakasha, so Chizki Amar, Mehocha Nilmad. From here we learn Din Shiras Halevim Al HaKarban. This is the source that the Levim, very much, this is the source that Levim are required to actually sing. There's a discussion in the Gemara, what exactly the Levim do when the Korbanos are offered. Do they just play musical instruments? Or is there also singing that accompanies the musical instruments? What's the Iker Shir? Is the Iker Avod of the Levim to sing? Or is the Iker Avodah to play musical instruments? So here, Chizkia says, Mikan il madin shuat halavim alakabit shenemar, uchananya asar halavim b'maso, yosor, ki mevin hu. The Gemara explicitly says what you said, Mr. Blatter. Al tikre yosor, Elo Yoshir. Don't read it Yosar, read it Yoshir. So the Gemara is obviously changing the Samach into a Shin, and it's putting the Yud in the middle. It's a very interesting drasha. It's a good drasha. Gemara. You can't look away from the Gemara.
Yeah, I think because the mouth of the Gemara, they've always the sounds like even a soft sin.
Two different worlds, two different sounds. Okay, so that's Pasik Chav Beis. Now we go to Pasik Chav Gimel. Uverechya ve'elkana shayarim la'aro. Now we have two more people. These two people are shayarim la'aro. Now we didn't do this last week. We referred to this Pasik last week, that Uvrechya v'Elkana Shoyarim L'Arum, they served as gatekeepers. Now the way the Mitzudas learns, it's very interesting how we learn, look at the Pasuk of Gimel, Shoyarim L'Arum, Me'oz ha'yushonim b'oyel, Haron v'at ha'shavol yos m'shoyarim. Now that's not the way Rashi learned. Rashi, we learned last week, learns that even at this point in time, they were honor guards. Obviously, the role of a gatekeeper when the Aron is in transport is not the same role as a gatekeeper when the Aron is settled in a structure. When it's in a structure, it's an Ohel or in a Mishkan or in a Bayis, obviously the gatekeepers, they stand guard by the gate. Now the Aron is in transport. It's moving. So the gatekeepers obviously are going to stand on the side as honor guards. It's a different role, but that's how Rashi learned last week. But over here, the Mitzudas does not learn like that. He says that these two people, Vrechya Velkana, Shayanim Lam, who in the past, when the Aron was in the home of Ovid Edom, and when it was in Shiloh, and maybe when it's Novi Givon, depending on how far back they lived, they in the past, Rashi in the Mitzudas Pasach HaGimel says, Me'oz, Hayu Shayadim Bo'ayel Aron. In the past, they were gatekeepers in the oil for the Aron. V'ata, now, Shavu Lios Mishoyerim, now they became singers. Now they were their role was transformed into singers because they need a lot of singers as the Aron was transported. Now there is no Rashi here, I believe. No, so let's go further. Next pasuk. Pasuk of Dal. Ushe van Yohu v'Yoshafat u'Nisanel v'Amosai u'Zechariyahu u'Vinoyahu v'Eliezer hakohanim. They were Mach Tzirin. Bachatzoitzros, they were blowing trumpets. Lefneru and Elohim, they were blowing trumpets. Ve'oived Edoim, v'chiyo shoyadim l'aron. And these two people, Oived Edoim, v'chiyo shoyadim l'aron. So he, Rashi, learns the same thing. The Mitzudas learns the same idea that in the past, they were gatekeepers. Now also, they became trumpet blowers or singers. Let's see what it says over here in the Mitzudas. Let's see Pasuk of Dal. What? Seems like a lot. It seems. Let's see the mitzvahs. Could be there was some type. We don't really know the details of how it worked, but it could be there was some type of orchestra that. All right, they when one ended, the next one started. Whatever, however it worked. Yeah.
Could be the trumpeters were not part of the actual orchestra. They
correct. Right. I once went to a concert. It was I don't know what it's called exactly. Classical music. My sister plays professional. She's a violinist in the professional level, so she performs every so often in the orchestra. So every so often I go to the concerts, and so they have on the stage the orchestra, the whole get up, the conductor, and every once in a while they have people who blow trumpets in the back. It's very interesting in the audience. They're right. They're not. It's part of the effect. The people, they have the orchestra on the stage with the violins and the harps and all these.
It's just to herald the events.
No, you know what that is. Only the that's to wake up the people who fell asleep.
I don't know. It's some type of effect. They're sitting all the way in the back, in the bleachers, in the back. On the opposite side in the audience. And they're very loud. They're professionals. And they play the trumpets. So the trumpets, you see even here, like you're saying, Rav Michal is saying, it's not necessarily part of, the trumpeters are not necessarily part of the actual orchestra. They serve a different function. Okay. Let's see what it is. They were playing with trumpets. In order to elaborate, and we have it just elaborates v'tarshish sharshia. The word is repeated twice. Another example in Tehillim, we have the same exact word, and it's repeated twice here. Also, v'tosefes beyer. We have two words, machtsidim b'chatzaitzros. It's a verb for a noun. They were playing. It's a verb. You take a noun and you convert a noun into a verb. That's a very interesting idea because that's a lot what the Paitanim were criticized for. The early Paitanim, they made up a new language. You think Man Hebrew was the first people, the Israelis were the first one to take Lashon Kodesh and change it? The Paitanim, some of them, there was a dispute. They took from nouns and they made verbs. From verbs they made nouns. So you really see that over here. You see that to some degree here in this pasuk. You see machtsirim b'chatzaitzros. Is it really a word?
Yeslichos, all words that.
Well, it depends. Some will. Right, it depends. Right, different paitanim, different styles. Some did, some did not. Some were criticized. Some were more traditional. Some were less traditional. There's a lot of studies, a lot of different, very interesting ideas. Okay, but I just want to point out here. You have a very interesting idea. A trumpet is obviously a noun, and then we take that shoresh and we turn it into a verb to machtsirim b'chatzaitzros. They were blowing trumpets. Let's see. They belong to Lefnei Aaron Elokim. Let's see. Aviyavid Adam. Ulai hu hoye acher v'loy zehu he'amor lamala. We had another Aviyavid Adam above in Pasik Yud Ches. You see, in Pasik Yud Ches, it was Matisya ve'elif lehu umik. There was another Oyved Edom in Pasuk Yud Ches among the Kohanim, among the Levim that was singing, and now there's another Oyved Edom that is serving as a gatekeeper. So Ulai Hu Hoya Acher V'Lo Zehom L'Malah to different Shem L'Arim. So here the Mitzvah is the same exact thing. Gam Him Hoyu Me'Osh Shoyarim. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you so much.
He needs a new battery.
Okay,
is it not?
Oh, the machine on?
We just used it.
Yeah, no, it's on. Okay, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. Okay, it's good. So we have here another Oyved Edom, a different Oyved Edom, and here he says, Pasuk Hey, when I turn the page, Shoyarim La'arim, the same idea we mentioned before, Gam Him Ohoyu Me'oz Shoyarim, V'shovu Ato Lios Mishoyarim. Same idea. If that's not the symbol translation of the Pasuk, if you read the Pasuk symbol, you would think that they were gatekeepers to the army that's in transport. They were honor guards. That's not the way the Mitzudas learns. He learns that they in the past were honor, were gatekeepers, but there's no purpose of being a gatekeeper when the army is in transport, so they were molded, they adjusted their talents to turn into, they were retrained to become now singers or trumpeteers, correct. Okay, next, Pasuk Chof Hey. Pasuk Chof Hey. Vayihi David, Zikne Yisroel, Vesorei Ha'alofim Ha'olchim Ha'alois Es Aroin Bris Hashem Min Beis Oved Edoin B'Simcha. And David and the leaders, the Zikanim, and the princes of the thousands, they went to bring up the Aron Bris Hashem from Beis Oved Edom with joy. Mitzudos, Pasik Chofei, Choyzer al Tchilas Amikro, Loimar Vahidavid, Besimcha. It's not grammatically correct, this Pasik. The Pasik does not translate well. So the Mitzudos tells us that you have to go to Besimcha. It's like a Pasik in Yeshaya. We have to take the words and rearrange the words to make sense out of the pasuk. Vayihi David v'zikne Yisrael. David was besimcha. The word besimcha is going back on vayihi. Vayihi David v'zikne Yisrael v'sorei ha'alafim besimcha. They were in a state of simcha when, as haholchem, as they went lahalos to bring up the Aron Bris Hashem mibeis Oved Edom to Be'er David.
Where do you want to put the simcha?
After the word sorei ha'alafim, vayihi David v'zikne Yisrael v'sorei ha'alafim. Now is where you put the word simcha. Bisimcha. They were in a state of joy. You see, you take the word simcha at the end of the pasuk and you put it in the middle of the pasuk. They were in a state of joy as they began to bring the Aron from Oved Edom to Yerushalayim. Right? Yeah. That's implied because since you're changing words, you're moving them around. You're also going to change the exact translation, the form of the way the words are used in the middle of the pasuk. Okay, let's go to the Pasuk Chavav Ayhi. Now, this is a very important Pasuk. Pasuk here says, Pasuk Chavav Ayhi be'ezar ha'lokim. It was when Hashem assisted. And what is that word doing here? Hashem assisted? What do you mean Hashem? Hashem always assists. Everything Hashem does is assisting us. Well, let's read the whole pasuk. Vayhi be'ezar ha'lokim es ha'levim. When Hashem helped them, assisted levim, no say Aroin Bris Hashem, Vayizvichu Shiva Farim v'Shiva Elim. They offered seven parim and seven elim. So from here, Chazal learned. Let's see Pasuk Chavav first in the Mitzudos and the Rashi. Pasuk Chavav in Mitzudos Be'azor Rotzulaymar Bavur Sheozram Hu'Elokim. Because Hashem was at their side, He assisted. V'loy Nichshelu Binasam. And they did not stumble when they carried. No one died. This was not a repeat tragedy from Uzzah, yeah, when the Aron began to slip off the wagon and Uzzah stretched forth his hand to save it and he died, and it was a very great tragedy. That it was not a repeat performance here. This did not happen again. Why? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu was at their side. They did tshuva, they sanctified themselves, they were carrying it on their shoulders as was written in the Torah, and Hashem therefore was at their side to protect them, that nothing harmful should happen. Therefore, in thanks, in appreciation, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not cause any tragedy, lozeh zavchu hakarbonos halalu, they offer the following 14 karbonos, 7 potim and 7 elim, milvad, this is besides what we're going to see in a few moments, the shor umari, the axe, and the Marie is the cattle, shezavchu achar kol sheshes hatzaadim he'am amurim b'shmul beis, besides the other korbanos, which they, besides after every six, we'll see them in a few moments, after every 6 steps, they offered a collection of after every 6 steps, they offered a collection of korbanos, which we'll see in a few moments. Okay, we'll come to see some of the midrashim, it's not actually mentioned here. It's actually not mentioned here. That's interesting. It's not mentioned. Okay, we'll come to that one moment. Now, before let's see Rashi. Rashi by Hebe Azram Elokim. I was saying to Amru, this is a very, very important Rashi. This Rashi is the Makar for what we are all so familiar with, that the Aron was no say es nosaf. The Aron carried those who carried it. Not that the people carry the Aron, because we know, we mentioned many times that the weight of the Aron and the Kruvim with the Luchos was more than 4 people can possibly carry, can bear. So this, that it was carried, it was nothing less than a miracle. So how is it possible for them to carry it? The answer was, the Aron really carried those who carried it. What is the source for this concept? Where do we find the explicit mention in Tanakh? Right here in this pasuk, the Azram, the Azor, Hu Elokim. Hashem was assisting the ones that were carrying it, the Levim, the Noisa, the Asalavim, Noisa, Aaron versus Hashem, they were really being assisted by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Simu Amru, Mikan Sheho Oroin Nosei Es Atzmo. It carries itself, and with carrying itself, it also carries the Levim. Okay, now the order over here is 7 different parim. Now let me give you some background. Let me read you a Medrash. The Medrash really, it's a Gemara as well. It's Gemara Masechta Sota. Okay, so let me do one thing at a time. The Medrash, B'Medrash Rab, B'Midbar Rabba, Parsha Dalit, Section Chaf. But first, let me read you a Gemara Masechta Sota on Daf Lamed Hey Amid Beis. Here in Divrei Hayamim, the only thing it says is they offered Shiva Parim v'Shiva Elim. If you study Shmuel Beis, where the same story is mentioned for the very first time, when they transported the Aron from Oved Edom to Ir David, there the pasuk says, "Vayehi ki tzoadu no Aron Hashem shishot tzoadim." After they took 6 steps, Vayizbach Shor Umeri, they offered Shor Umeri. Shor is 1. Umeri is a certain type of animal. It's a I'm not sure what a Marie is. A certain type of animal. It's a. Do we have the? We didn't have that over here. Anything? Okay. Shor umari, and the problem mashma shikiv racks with the difficulty. That's mashma. Let's just focus on the shor, that he only offered 1 axe. Now here it says shiva farim. A par is an axe. The word shor, you have to know about animals. I don't know much about animals, but a shor is a generic term which refers to the entire life cycle of an ox. An ox starts out as an eagle. Until it's 1 year old, it's called an eagle. Then it enters a certain tkufa where it's in the middle. It's not an eagle, and it's not. And when it becomes an adult, it becomes a shor. It becomes a par. Or it's egla. If it's a female, it's an egla, and it turns into a para. But that's when it's 3 years old. What?
Para is usually translated as a bull.
Para is a bull, right?
Para
is a bull.
Para
is a bull, and para is a cow. Yeah, but it's the same thing. Para is feminine, and the par is masculine. So when it starts out as an infant, for the first year, it's called an egel or an egla. Klai Yisrael offered the calf, the egel, an egel, and it's also called the shor. We have many references. Now, what's the word shor? The word shor is an axe. That is a term which captures the entire life cycle from infanthood, from the time it's an egel, through adulthood when it's a par or a para. It captures the whole life cycle. So the difficulty over here, it says in this pasuk, Vayizvuhu shiva farim. Farim means a shor. An adult shor. Seven. How many oxen? Seven. In Shmuel it says they offered one. When they took six steps, after taking six steps, they offered one shor, which means one par or one para. So we have a contradiction. Did they offer six or did they offer seven? So we have a stiroch, siv, shiva padim, shiva elim. So now, elim, it seems elim is a ram, and ayil, it seems that Mari is an ayil. Okay, I think that's the answer. And the other answer is perik beis, shmuel beis, perik vav, pasuk yud gimel. Mari, I think, is an ayil. Okay, now that's from the sheep. What's the sheep family? You have kvasim and ezim. When a goat becomes 1 year old, it's called an ayil. Okay, it's called a ram. A baby goat is called a goat. When it becomes 1 year old, it turns into an ayil. So here
you
we
say that they walk like the. Malum says they walk six times.
So let's go one step at a time. We have a contradiction. Here in Sefer Devarim it says that they offered seven parim and seven meri. Meri is elim.
Here
is elim.
It says shor meri, a slaughtered an ox and one fatted ox.
A fatted ox. Okay. It's a fatted. Okay. Here it says there were seven parim and shiva elim. And there it says there was one shor and one miri. So we have a stira. The soishim. So how we answer? So amar papa bar Shmuel the gemara misach the sota. The answer is al kol psia psia shor umiri. The al kol sheish for sheish psios shiva padim v'shiva elim. So look at the answer. The answer is, you know, we reconcile the contradiction. Each sefer is telling us a different detail. Here it's telling after each single step. Can you imagine how many korbanos they offered? According to this Havamin in the Gemara, after each step, that's what we're learning over here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. They offer them, after each step, they ordered seven. Al kol psio psia shor umiri. Yal kol sheish v'sheish psios shiva padim v'shiva elim. We're mixing and matching. It's a very difficult answer because here it says they offered seven. Shiva Fadim Shiva Elim. And we're going to learn that took place after six steps. When it says in Sefer Shmuel they offered a single, that was after a single step. Even though there it says six steps. So the six steps that's mentioned in Sefer Shmuel is really being applied to what it says in Divrei Hayam. After six steps, they offered seven parim and seven elim. But after every single step, they offered in addition one par and one meri. So the Gemara is not happy with this solution. Amen av chista. Im kein mileso es kol eretz yishol bamos. If that's correct, there are too many korbanos. The whole Eretz Yisrael will be filled with mizbachos. It's not the star there. That after every single step, they must have to take at least 1,000, who knows how many steps.
Can you envision that?
Impossible. That's what the Gemara says. El Rav Chista, al kol sheish for sheish psios shor meri. After every six steps, they offer two korbanos. The alcohol shisha sidorim shall sheish psios, six times six, after six arrangements of six steps, every 36 steps, 36 feet, every 36 feet, how long is 36 feet from here to here? 36 feet, they offered shiva padim v'shiva elim. Okay, that is one interpretation. Now the Medrash goes on and says a little bit different. Uh, Okay, so we'll leave with that, without Gemara. That's one approach. Okay, that's the approach in the Musaq Gemara, Musaq Sota. Every 6 steps, 1 Shor, 1 Meri. Every 36 steps, 7 Parim and 7 Eilim. Okay, let's go to... Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Now we go to pasuk Chav Zayin. Chav Zayin, it says, "V'David mechurbal b'me'il butz." This is a very interesting concept. David was mechurbal. Mechurbal is a very unusual word. It means he was cloaked. Me'utaf, he was dressed. The word mechurbal is found by a rooster. A rooster has a crown on its head. That's the time during the day when Hashem gets angry. Every single day, when does Hashem get angry? When the crown of the rooster turns white, or turns red, I don't remember, turns white or turns red. So this is the mechurbal. It's an expression which means to be dressed, but not just dressed, to be dressed in bigdei malchus. Because the rooster, this term is used for the crown of the rooster. So David now was dressed in malchus. But he wasn't wearing his regular big day malchus. He was wearing the same garments as the Levim. And this is an amazing thing, what it says over here, what it says in Rashi. What Rashi is doing is just mind-boggling. Well, let's see the pasuk first, one thing at a time. David was cloaked in a linen garment. And all of the Levim that were carrying the Aron, the Hameshoyrim, and the singers, and Hananya Hasar Hamasa, and Hananya, who was the leader, the conductor of the music. Hamasa means the music. Hamashayurim was the leader, the conductor of the music of the singers. The Al David Ephod Bod. And David was wearing a linen garment. Let's see the mitzvahs. Yes, it is. It's like the beggar of the Kohanim. It's a beged of the Kohen. Let's see what the mitzudos. Pasik chof zayin. What does it mean mechurbal in the mitzudos? Hoya mu'utof. Mechurbal means he was cloaked. B'mi'il shol butz, v'chein kol ha'levim. Hasar hamaso, ha'mesherim, hasar. We mentioned him before, Hananya. He was the conductor, the leader. The haramas ha'kol, of the raising forth of the voice. Al Hamasharim over the singers, and David was wearing, what exactly is this thing called, this mechurbal b'me'il butz? So the end of the pasuk describes Yal David ephod bud. It was an ephod. The me'il, which literally means a garment of linen, was a certain type of garment called an ephod. Now what is an ephod? So you go look in the Torah, you go look in all the nice fancy picture books from Parshas Truma, where it describes the big day kahuna. There's something called an ephod. Now, what is an ephod? Now, we're pretty much brainwashed in what the ephod looks like. But you have to know that it's not necessarily... Well, what, when you look, think of an ephod, what do you think of? An apron. And if you look in the picture books, the article picture books, it shows you it's a garment which covers pretty much the front of the body. It's pretty much the back of the body. I take that back. It's the back. The ephod is not really an apron. An apron, in modern times, you call a chef wears an apron. The apron covers the front of the body. The ephod primarily covers the back of the body. Think about it. It covers the entire back. It wraps around, and you tie it in the front. It's not a garment that covers the front. It's a garment which covers the back. And you tie it, it has a cord, a girdle, a strap, and the strap is made from the same material as the garment itself. This is the ephod that the Kohen Gadol wears. This ephod that the Kohen Gadol wears was also worn by other leaders in Klal Yisrael. That's what the Mitzvah says. Ephod bod. Min levush, it's a type of garment, ha'asui k'min ephod, shel Kohen Gadol. V'hi miyuchedes lehamisboididim ba'avoydes Hashem. No, today, who wears a kapata? A frock. Who wears a frock? Who would have a chutzpah to put on a frock unless you are a Rosh Hashiva? It's not normal for a person who's not in a position, doesn't have a formal position as being a Rosh Hashiva of a major institution, to put on
rabbinic garb.
Special rabbinic garb. Miyuchid for certain people. So the same thing, the only people that were misbaydidim, they were in isolation, they devoted their lives to serving Hashem, they wore this special garment. Who else wore this? Shmuel. Shmuel also wore this. Shmuel wore this garment. He was not a Kohen Gadol, Shmuel, but Shmuel wore this garment, even though he was a Levi. Now David is not a Levi. David is not a Kohen. David is a Yisrael. He's from Shevet Yehuda, and David here was wearing the same garment as the Kohen Gadol. Now David is not wearing the Me'il. He's not wearing the Tzitz. He's not wearing the Choshen. But he is wearing the ephod. He's wearing something which is equivalent to what the Kohen Gadol wore, because in ancient times this was a garment that was worn by people, as the Mitzuda says, that were misbeidedim lefnei Hashem. They were in isolation before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, devoted themselves to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They wore this thing called an ephod bot. Now look at Rashi. Rashi elaborates even more. And Rashi says something that is shocking. Rashi, Pasek Chav Zayin, V'dava Mecharbel, K'moy b'Daniel b'charbel lo sehoin. It's a word which means a cloak, a special garment of dignity, a coat. Okay, special coat. V'chol ha'leviim k'moy kein mechubalim b'me'il butz. All of the leviim that were participating in this transport and singing, they also were wearing this garment. U'lefi shahaya David m'shoyer k'mo leviim. Since David, even though David was not a Levi, it's the laws, man. What is David singing?
Where did he get permission?
Exactly. Well, this is not part of the avodah mamish. He was the melech. David was the noyim. David was the singer of Klal Yisrael, but he composed the zemiros, all of the mizmorim. Since David was singing k'mo levim, lavash gam hu levusheim. He also wore their garments. He also wore their uniform. Shalav shagam heim. Now look what he says now. Raya lahavdil ben tamer levim. Like you say lahavdil elif alfi avdalas. Right? You say lahavdil by the goyim. Look at the goyim. Look what the goyim do. What do they do? It's the custom of the kings and the princes of the Goyim, the people who worship the stars, umazalos, and the constellations, when they in a meal with the priests, they would wear the same garments as their priests. It's shocking what Rashi is doing here. He's coming to give us an example from what the Goyim do. Right? Today, if you would write something like this, you'd be putting Chayim. What are you going and you're bringing in what goes on in the church? What goes on in the church? How do you even know? How do you even know what goes on in the church? I once went somewhere with a friend, and he said to me, we're going to eat out in a certain place. We're out of town, and there was a certain kosher restaurant that was recommended. So we go there to this kosher restaurant, and I get the address, we come there, I open up the door, and I look inside, and I don't like what I saw. So I said to this person, I don't want to go here. It looks like a bar. So this person says back to me, how do you know what a bar looks like? And I was stunned. Like,
why?
You know, you're right. I'll tell you a secret. The person was a female person, gender. The person that said that comment to me was not Dailchad Hakim Urimiza. Was a, how do you know what a bar looks like? I said, I don't know. How do I know? That's right. It's a good question. It must be from television, I guess.
Yeah.
It must be. What?
You look in to see.
But it's a good kasha. It's a good kasha. How do you know what a bar looks like? So here,
you should say because it does not look like a restaurant.
So what? So here it's. I don't have an answer.
Why not?
Oh, I'll tell
you.
Only
me?
The 86
World Series. Okay, I don't have an answer, but it's very interesting over here that Rashi is quoting from what the Minhag HaGoyim. David here is wearing an ephod bot. It's a chiddush that the Levim wear an ephod bot. It's a whole new concept. A Levi wears, the one that really wears the ephod is the Kohen Gadol. He wears the ephod. The choshen is attached to the ephod. Underneath he wears the me'il. The niel is the blue garment with the bells on the bottom. On top of that, he puts on an ephod, which primarily covers the back of the body. There's a strap which he ties on top. And then he connects to the ephod, he connects the choshen. Who really wears the ephod? The Kohen Gadol. Chiddush, Levim also wear the ephod. Mitzvah says people that are misbeided in Lefnei Hashem wear the ephod. Shmuel wore an ephod. Okay, now they're transporting the Aaron. All of the Levim are wearing an ephod. Who else? David's going to wear the ephod. But David's the Melech. So the Melech is going to join what the Levim and the Kohanim wear? Yeah, look at the Goyim. Look what they do in church. In church, they do this. The priests, they wear a special costume. So when the king comes to join the priests in the church meal, the king puts on the big day kahuna, the clothing that the priests wear.
Different rites.
Different things. The bishop, the cardinal, you have to see all the different costumes they have. So David also, he's the melech. Even though he's the melech, and the melech has special big day malchus, he has a crown and he has special garments, whatever the garments are, but not at this ceremony. At this ceremony, he's going to wear the same garments as the Levim who are wearing the Eifel Bada, just like the Goyim. So it's a tremendous chiddush of Rashi of coming of tell us to compare it to you ever do such a thing to compare such a to understand a pasuk in Tanakh by trying to look at what the Goyim do. It's a very dangerous approach to the study of Tanakh. But Rashi, it's not really Rashi, we know that it's in the Mefarish, but it's a very holy, whoever it is a very holy person, and made it into. But that's what it says. Okay, let's go further. The Aldavid of Abad, next Rashi, that is coming to show what exactly the Eifel look like. The Aldavid of Abad, Ka'oisu Eifel Shal Aroin. The Eifel is just like the Kohen Gadol. Shoyekimin Shnei Levadim. Levadim means a piece of cloth. There's a piece of cloth on the front and the back, or two different sides, on the left and the right. I'm not exactly sure. One on the front, one on the back. Magia Ad Masnav. And it reached all the way down to his waist. The Hoya He Azur Arug Mimenu. So it doesn't go down to the ground. It goes in the front. The way Rashi here is saying something that's not what Rashi says in Chumash. Rashi in Chumash learns that the ephod primarily covered the back of the body. Rashi said the ephod covered, it was a piece of the material in the front and in the back, and it went, did not go that far. It only went down to the waist, and there was a strap. The strap was part of the material. It wasn't attached. The strap was built, was woven into the actual garment itself. The chagoy ba, you would tie it on your body with the strap. If you want to see something very interesting in the Chumash, the Living Torah by Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan. So he has some very interesting pictures. The very, you know, the very simple pictures, but you look very carefully, they are incredible chidushim. And he presents there from the Rishonim many different opinions of what exactly the ephod looked like. We are brainwashed in many things in the way we of what the Kalim of the Beis Hamikdash look like, because there's Rashi, well, we think Rashi means. It's not even so clear what Rashi means. If you study Rashi very carefully, there are different interpretations of Rashi. And when you're a child, they show you a picture, and that's the picture that sticks with you for the rest of your life. But it's not so simple. And when it comes to the ephod, that's probably one of the most complicated garments that of the Kohen Gadol. So again, we are familiar with a garment which covers the back of the body and you tie it on the front. That's not what it says over here. Over here it says the ephod had two parts, back and front, and there was a strap. In the picture, in the Living Torah, it shows other opinions. One that I thought that would be most intriguing was a cape. Just a cape. Like, you know, a superhero cape. You see today in the cartoons, that's what the ephod was, according to when he shows a picture. That's what it was. Not what it says here, back and front. Not what Rashi and Chumash says, an apron. See, Mr. Plotty, you think about an apron, but it's an apron not going from the front to the back. The way that we're familiar with the ephod, it's an apron that goes in the back, tied in the front. That's really what it is, according to the way we're familiar with. But that's not what it says here again. Here it says back and front. Rabbi Kaplan shows just a cape, just the back. Nothing to do with the front. It was attached to the top of the cape. What? It was attached to the side. It wasn't attached to the bottom. It was attached to the back. To the back. And it was attached to the top. So if you get a hold of the Sefer, Living Torah, Aryeh Kaplan, look in Parashas Truma, he has a few illustrations to get more of a flavor of what exactly the ephod look like. It's not, and then you come back to this Rashi, and you'll see that Rashi here is saying something very different than what it says in Chumash as well. I'll give you another example. And this is the classic, right? So you pass it on. This is the classic interpretation, pass it shows the bladder, where it's the back of the body, has shoulder straps, does not go on the top of the body. Okay, it's also another chiddush, where there's nothing on the back.
How different is this than Aryeh Kaplan's?
He has a number of pictures. He has a number of shoulder piss it around. I'll give you another example, the Aron. We are all familiar, the Aron was a box, just a plain, simple box. And it has no legs. So think about it. They put the Aron on the floor. Would anyone today take the Aron Kodesh, put the Aron on the floor? And you took the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadosh and you put it on the floor. The Evan Shasia on the floor. That's how you treat the Aron. You put the Aron on the floor, the Arbadim. So the other Rishonim, it's a Chas V'Shalom. The Aron had legs. Just like the Shulchan had four legs, the Aron had legs. And they interpret, you read the Pesukim very carefully, there are different ways to interpret the meaning of the words of the Pasuk of the Aron to show that the Torah explicitly says that the Aron should have legs. Just like the Shulchan had legs. So again, everything that we, you know, there's many mahalchim interpretations of every single one of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. We are just more familiar with one because Rashi tells us one approach, and there's always an illustration, and that gets etched into our memory. But the more and the deeper you dig, the deeper you study, you'll discover there are different mahalchim, and here is a great example of the Me'il. Look how it's described here, and go back to Chumash, and look at the other Rishonim, you'll see that you're dealing with different interpretations. Okay, let's finish up. Pasik Chof Ches. V'chol Yisrael malim es aron bris Hashem. They brought up the aron bris Hashem b'sua through the blowing of the shofar, the kol shofar. So here we have over here two different expressions. We consider the tshua to be the kol shofar. So obviously it's not the same. The tshua shouts. Tshua is not the same thing, at least in this pasuk, as the kol shofar. Uvechatzot shofar, the trumpets. Uvim tziltoim, with cymbals. Mashmim, bring forth sound. Binvolim, with flutes. Vichinoros, and harps, with wind instruments. And with string instruments, pasuk haftes, vahid Aron bris Hashem ba al ir David, and the Aron arrived. The Aron arrived with David and Michal, and who was observing David dancing in front of the Aron? David's wife, Michal, ba Shaul, nishkefa ba'ar hachalon. She looked out of the window, vatera es hamelech David. She looked down. Okay, doesn't say look down. Doesn't say look down. Maybe in Shmuel it says look down. Here it says nishkefa. She looked.
Doesn't nishkefa usually mean looking from a height down?
That's maybe. Hashkifa memoim kachcha min hashamayin. There it says min hashamayin. So maybe you want to borrow from that context. Okay. Vatera es hamelch David mirakeid. She saw her husband David mirakeid dancing umisachek and rejoicing. Fatives lo beliba, and she despised him in her heart. That she was no match. She did not like, appreciate his approach to serving Hashem. He was very different than her father. Her father, this was the most fundamental difference between Shaul and David. Shaul was a very dignified person, and Shaul would not be mevaza himself even in front of the Aron. David, he was dancing like one of the children. He was dancing and he was doing acrobatics, doing things which Michal felt is beneath the dignity of the king. You go to a wedding, right, you have these entertainers, and they do things. It's not a kavodik for the Rosh Yeshiva to do what the entertainers are doing. They can go and they can flip up and down and do all these funny things. That's for the entertainers to do. It's not for the dignified Rosh Yeshiva. The Masadik Dutch is not going to dance like that.
Although,
David, what?
Although,
yes.
And the
so we don't know. We don't know how they dance. They dance in a very dignified way. We don't know exactly when they danced. Like there's a certain form of dancing that's dignified, and there's a certain form of dancing that is not dignified.
Well, it's explicitly stated that,
yeah,
they juggled, right?
So you have to know exactly what it means, and but here it doesn't say exactly what David did. David was miraculous, and he was misachik, and she, Michal Bashol, did not appreciate this type of entertainment because she felt that it was beneath the dignity of the king to behave like one of the regular people. So let's see, Rashi explains this much. Let's first the Mitzudos in much more detail. Pasuk Chaf Ches with the Kol Shofar, who are Kol Pashut. The Kol Shofar is the Kol the Pashut. So according to the Mitzudos, he appears to be saying that it's the same thing. It's the same exact Trua, and the Kol Shofar is the same instrument. Just like on Rosh Hashanah, we have the Shofar. After the Shofar, we produce a Tekiah and a Trua. So the Kol Shofar is a code for what we call a Tekiah, and the Trua is what we call the Shvarim or the Trua. And she observed David dancing before the Aron Bris. Ha'aron Shemunachem Boy Haluchais Hanesunim Abris. Why is the Aron called the Bris? Because the Torah was given with Hashem made a Bris with Klal Yisrael when He gave us the Torah. Vatives Bizisa Oisa Beliba. She despised him in her heart. The Chashva. She thought She'ein Meharoy LaMelech. It's not proper for the king LaHakel B'Chvaydei Kol Kach to degrade his dignity to such a degree. Even though he's doing it for the covet of the Aron Hashem, it's not proper for David to be mevaz himself. Now look at the Rashi. Rashi says in much more details. Pasik Chavtes Umichal Bashol Lefi Yishas Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Now there's one thing that's really stands out that's missing in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. When David returned home, Michal gave David an earful. She gave him Musar. You will mevazi yourself in front of Klal Yisrael. They think very little of you. You behave like one of the children, one of the Reikim. And David said back to her, Adarabba, halavai, I should have been mevazi myself more for the honor of Hashem. And that's exactly why Hashem rejected your father and made me king, right? That's the worst thing you can say to your wife.
But he didn't say that.
See, this is the perfect storm for Shalom Bayis problems. When a husband does not meet up to her father. A girl comes into a marriage expecting a husband to behave like her father. And when the husband is not like the father, it's very different. That conflict is a very, very big problem, especially when the husband actually says to his wife, I'm not like your father. I'm better than your father. That's when you have to make an appointment at the Shalom Bayis counselor for help.
Call the hotline.
Okay, let's see over here the Rashi. Rashi. Ramicha Bashal. Now, so the question is, so Rashi's coming over here. Rashi's coming over to tell something very important. So why then is this entire dialogue absent from Sefer Divrei Hayamim? So again, you can never get away from this. Every single shir, every single few words in Sefer Divrei Hayamim always coming to contrast the different approach between the author of Sefer Divrei Hayamim and the Sefer of Shmuel. That's exactly what we're coming over here. Lefi, Rashi says, Paschal Tess, the Sefer Divrei Hayamim, Beshvil Kivoy David Hu. The focus is the honor of David. Kivoy David Hu, Lefichach, Ein Kosov Khan. It's deliberately omitted. Ma Amra Michal le David, Kamar Shakasta b'Shmuel. What did she say to her husband? Ma Nichbar Hayom Melech Yisrael. How honored was the king today? She was mocking him. How honored you were today, the king of Yisrael. Asher Nigle Hayom, you reveal yourself. Le'ene Amos, in front of the maidservants, Avodov of your servants, Amos Avodov, Kigolos Niglos Echor Horeikin. You revealed yourself the same one of the empty people. She called her husband an empty person. Her husband, who is the Melech Yisrael, is an empty head, an empty person because he exposed himself. Kizilusa, so why is this dialogue absent? And David's response to her, Kizilusa shel David haya, sha'amulay isha kane. So now this is very interesting. It's a zilzal to David that a woman would talk to David like this. Rashi doesn't say this with anyone to talk. He says it's even worse that a woman would say something like this to David. And since Divrei Hayam is all about the honor of David, we don't want to be mevazed David openly in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, and therefore we left this out. However, it's interesting, we did leave it out, but we did make mention of it. See, so you have to take Rashi with a grain of salt, because if you would take Rashi to its conclusion, its natural conclusion, you would leave out the whole pasuk. You would just say that David was mecharkel b'chol olus with his entire might. And there'll be no mention to mention the pasuk of Michal Bashol Nishko Berachalon Vateres Hamelch David Miraculum Musachek Vatides Lo Beliba. Why mention that? So the answer is, you can't get away with everything. You have to mention the historical facts, what have happened, and you have to mention that David definitely felt that the proper thing to do is to be mevazeh himself for the honor of the Aaron. And perhaps this was a message to the people living in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, that you have to humble yourself to come and make Aliyah, to come to Eretz Yisrael, to leave Bavel. Even though leaving Bavel, you're going to have to take a step down. You're going to have to go off your high chariot and your high standard of living in Bavel and come to Eretz Yisrael and suffer a little bit and do things which are degrading and work the land and be mevazeh yourself, just like David. David was mevazeh himself in front of the Aaron. So everyone is no different. You have to mevazeh himself and come to Yerushalayim and rebuild Eretz Yisrael. That message is critical for Sefer Divrei Hayyamim. The Musar of what she actually said to him, that's not important for Divrei Hayyam, because Divrei Hayyam is all about the Yichus and the Kavod of the Malchus of David, so that part we could leave out. But again, not to leave out the message that it's important for a person, even the stature of David, to mevazeh himself for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay?
The way the pasuk puts it here, it's a personal opinion of hers. It does say it's not really mevazeh David. It's in her mind it was like that.
But in her mind, but David, the fact that it's recorded indicates we're mentioning it, that it was in her mind it was a bezayin. David disagreed. It was kedai to be mevazeh himself for the honor of the Aaron. And that is something that we can learn from. Because this concludes. David held he was right. Yeah. David held that was a disagreement.
You know, why is Rosh Hashiva allowed to dance for the wedding?
Because they don't know how, that's why.
Because they're all married.
Okay.